I'd like to welcome everyone to another Marketing Mastermind for the Self-Publishing Roadmap online training course. Today, I am really excited to welcome Joan Stewart. Now, many of you may know Joan, and I've asked her to come to talk to us specifically about publicity for authors, because Joan is an expert on publicity and promotion, and she has, I think, the best website online anywhere for really great publicity tips and resources, particularly if you don't have a lot of money to spend. And it's called thepublicityhound.com, and you'll find a link to it under this video. So welcome, Joan, and thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy, busy day.
Oh, Joel, it's great to be here. Hello, authors. I hope you're all having a great summer.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of requests for information on book marketing, Joan. You're probably not too surprised about that. I mean, a lot of self-publishers dive in because they're really excited about creating a book, and that's really exciting. And then all of a sudden, they wake up to the idea like, oh, hey, how am I supposed to sell these things? And, you know, that's usually not a good idea because you kind of have it backwards. But the thing is that I almost never get people asking me questions about publicity. So I'm really wondering if you wouldn't mind, Joan, just starting out for the total newbies in the audience. So just explain the different role that these things play, like marketing. What's the difference between marketing and publicity and sales and advertising? Where does publicity fit in?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer your question, but first I want to share with you a fun little quote, and I don't know where this came from, and I've seen this several times, and I put this at my blog and got so many requests for it. So this is a little quote, it's very short, that explains the difference between marketing and PR and publicity and advertising, and it goes like this. If the circus is coming to town and you paint a sign saying circus coming to the fairground Saturday, that's advertising. If you put the sign on the back of an elephant and walk it into town, that's promotion. If the elephant walks through the mayor's flower bed, that's publicity. And if you get the mayor to laugh about it, that's public relations.
Well, I love that. That is so cute.
So let me go into a little bit more depth on it and sort of tell you from where I'm sitting what I see as the difference between all of these. Marketing is everything you do to sell the book, from creating your press kit about the book to working with bookstores on how to display your book to getting blurbs for the jacket of your book to finding your target audience online so you can communicate with them. And it's where you use a variety of channels to push out the key message and really promote your expertise. And I think it goes without saying, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, that authors have to have a pretty significant budget for marketing, period. Publicity, however, is where you use traditional media, and that would be TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, as well as all of the social media opportunities out there. All of it for free, F-R-E-E, to promote your book. And there are so many ways to do that, from, you know, appearing as a guest on a site, on shows like those on National Public Radio, which love authors, to going on to sites like LinkedIn and Quora, Quora.com. If you don't know about Quora, it's a fabulous place to answer questions and really promote your expertise. It also includes, you know, I think publicity can also include things like guest blogging, offered to guest blog for another blogger, even if you don't have your own blog. And remember, you don't need a budget for any of this, for free publicity, not one penny. But the bad news is you do need a lot of time. As you know, this is extremely time consuming.
Oh, it sure is. Just developing those contacts, because, you know, as if you're not known by anybody, it's really an uphill battle to try and get free airtime. But, you know, I really like the idea of the multiple platforms you were talking about, Joan, because I think as consumers, we're all really familiar what happens like when there's a big new movie about to come out. You know, and all of a sudden you see the stars on interview shows everywhere, and you see feature things about what happened on the set, and you see articles in People magazine or whatever. In other words, it's coming at you around that launch time from so many different directions, and mostly it's not advertising. In other words, it's not something that they paid for, but they put the work in to get the people out there and make the connections. So my question is like, okay, I'm a self-published author. I'm sitting here at my desk in San Rafael. How can I mobilize maybe not those big resources, but something similar to help get the word out about me and my book?
Okay, so is this pre-launch or about the time when you're ready to launch?
Well, I'm thinking of helping authors plan for, you know, releasing their book. So, you know, my idea, my idea about the launch, Joan, just briefly, is that the launch isn't like a week. You could have a launch that's a month or 4 months. I mean, your book is, if it has really useful information, there's no reason for you to stop promoting it just because your launch week is over.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know an author whose launch ever ended because, as you know, authors want to sell as many books as they possibly can. So you got to be out there all the time. And I'm glad you asked the question that way, because as you said in your opening, most authors want to know about this once it dawns on them that they have a garage that's half filled with cardboard boxes. You know, then they start to worry about how to promote. So I'm going to tell any author listening to this that you need to be preparing your platform. It's called platform. And you have got to have a large platform long before the book comes. Because if you don't have platform established, when you've got all those towering cardboard boxes of books in your garage, you can pretty much plan on parking in the street for the rest of your life. So let me tick through some ways that some things specifically that self-published or even published authors should be doing to build platform. And the first one is blog. I am astonished, Joel, at how many people don't blog because they think it's way too much trouble. And, well, you know, all the other reasons they don't have time, blah, blah, blah. I talked to a woman this morning who I was coaching. She doesn't have a blog because she says, quote, "I am busy building my business." End of quote.
Yep.
Well, hello, the blog helps build your business. So you need to have a blog and you need to be posting to it at least 3 times a week. You need to be building an email list. There is gold in that list. And you don't want to be buying lists. You don't want to be renting lists. You absolutely do not want to be spamming. You want to be going onto sites, and it can be your own site, and offering some kind of a little freebie giveaway, something of value in exchange for an email address. And, you know, if you think you have to have a list of 20,000 to be successful, that's a myth. You don't need a huge list. If you're in a very narrow niche, you may only have a list of 800 people. But if they're all interested in what you have to say, and if they're responsive, and if you have cultivated them by giving away a lot of information, a lot of free information on a regular basis, they'll be waiting for the next email because they're going to see what you have to say. Okay, a couple of other quick ideas on how to build platform. Start your own LinkedIn group.
Oh, that's interesting. And now, is that hard to do? Do you have to be somebody special to start a LinkedIn group?
No, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of groups. And anybody can start one, but don't start one unless you are willing to put the time in to be the administrator and to, you know, come up with, a lot of people have, a lot of administrators have guidelines for their groups on things that they will or will not permit, you know, and things like that. And you've got to actively engage in discussion, and you've got to push people over to that group from all these other places that where you are, like on Facebook and Twitter and your blog and elsewhere. Another thing, how about publishing an email newsletter?
Sure.
once every other week.
Go back just for a second about the LinkedIn groups, because I think that's really fascinating. I think LinkedIn is an underutilized resource by most authors because they don't really get LinkedIn. They don't realize what's going on there and all of the incredibly useful discussion forums that are going on in the groups. So why is it that you specifically like LinkedIn so much for platform building?
I like it because, oh gosh, how much time do you have, Joel? I love it because, okay, here's why. You can optimize your profile with keywords so that when people are searching on LinkedIn for the kind of company that you have, for the kind of services you provide, they can find you. Mm-hmm. I also like LinkedIn because LinkedIn has something called company pages, which a lot of people don't know about and don't use. That's the place where you can promote your products and your services, and it gets decent ranking in the search engines. Lots and lots of other reasons, and I'd like to recommend a book for your authors if I can.
Sure.
I think this is the best book that's ever been written on LinkedIn, and it's written by Wayne Bright Barth, B-R-E-I-T, B-A-R-T-H. Wayne sells office furniture in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And he got onto LinkedIn and found, he just was fascinated with it and got so immersed in it and self-taught himself how to use it and has made incredible contacts and is now one of the foremost experts on LinkedIn. And the book is called The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success. And it's on Amazon. Wayne is a fun guy. It's a fun read. It's a quick read. And he goes through a lot of explanation about LinkedIn groups. He gives you the whole skinny on first, second, and third degree connections. He will show you how to use the search function on LinkedIn, which is where a lot of the leads and the gold are buried. Mm-hmm. You can use multiple keywords, multiple locations, zip codes. You can ask for people within a 50-mile radius of San Rafael and find who you're looking for within a matter of a couple of seconds. So that's the book, The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success by Wayne Breitbarth.
Well, I will put a link to the book on with this video when I post it. So that's fantastic. I'm making notes like crazy here, Joan. And I didn't know about the company pages, in fact. I mean, I've been on LinkedIn for a couple of years and used it a lot to connect with people. But that's news to me. That's fantastic. Okay, we'll keep going. What else can we do?
Okay, here's a big one, Joel, that a lot of people don't want to get their hands dirty with, which is really unfortunate because it is powerful. And it's called video.
Uh-huh.
And you should. Every author should have their own YouTube channel where people can subscribe to your channel. It's your own little TV show. It's your own little TV station. It is free. And you should be filling it with short, as in 2 to 3 minutes, videos that include, heck, you know, if you're a fiction author, you can sit and read from your book for all I care. I don't really care. Just create the video because it pulls in traffic like crazy. Sitting in my living room right now, as we speak in the next room, is a great big cardboard box. And in that box is a green screen that I purchased from Amazon. Do you know what a green screen is? It's that thing that people on TV stand in front of.
Yep.
You know, when you see a correspondent on TV and they have a beautiful skyline of Manhattan behind them, they're not standing behind them in front of the skyline of Manhattan. They're standing in front of a green screen. And I've rigged up a little video studio in my dirty basement, and I'm going to use the green screen. You know, I tried to fix up a nice little video studio, and I just can't make it look presentable. So I went out and bought a green screen, and I'm going to stand in front of it. And I got a local high school kid in my neighborhood. Guys, everybody needs a high school kid. These kids know how to, a lot of them know how to edit video. And I'm going to stand in front of my green screen and shoot quick little videos and give them to him to edit. And he's going to put me in front of a background that looks nicer than way nicer than my house looks like.
And you could be anywhere. You could be broadcasting from Paris one day and Rome the next.
Yeah, with the Eiffel Tower in the background. And I'm going to just upload those to YouTube. And YouTube is free. It's your own video channel where people can subscribe to it. Two other quick ideas. One is, every author ought to have a Facebook page and make that page the go-to place where people ask questions about the topic of your book. And make sure you go over there every day and answer their questions. And finally, get out onto the speaking circuit. If you're not out there speaking about whatever the topic of your book happens to be, you don't want to be speaking about your book per se, but you want to be speaking about the topic that your book is tied into that will help you sell more books.
Well, that's fantastic. That's quite a rundown right there, Joan. And it seems to me that, you know, going back to the elephant image, you know, it seems to me like I grew up in New York, and one thing that you get pretty used to in New York is something called the publicity stunt. And that is where people try and do something completely outrageous just for the purpose of getting attention and what we would now call driving traffic. Because,
yes,
you know, you can have your YouTube channel and your LinkedIn group and your blog, but, you know, you've got to have people there. It doesn't make any difference how many videos you have if nobody's watching them. So
exactly.
It seems to me that one of the big things about publicity, you know, whether you do it stunt-like or any other way, just giving an interview, is that you're creating attention and driving traffic to your and people who are interested or get caught by what you're doing to drive traffic to these sites.
That's
so,
right. And, you know, in the old days, Joel, back when traditional media were the only media, the only way that we had to get our message across, we used to have to genuflect at the altar of newspaper editors and TV broadcasters and hope and pray that they covered us. And if they didn't cover us, we were up a creek. Now, look at the social media reach that we all have.
Yep.
On sites like Twitter, you know, where we have, even if it's 800 followers, that's 800 people who can share your great content with their separate audiences. Each of those people have their own audiences. And it's amazing the reach that you have on social media that there's no way you could ever have it with traditional media.
So you mentioned Twitter now, and you've mentioned LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. Now, do you use all those different sites differently? Like if you have a discussion group on LinkedIn and you're answering questions on Facebook and you're also on Twitter, can you describe a little bit about how your strategy works, how you put all this stuff together so you don't end up just duplicating all your efforts all the time and driving yourself crazy?
Well, it's not only driving yourself crazy, you don't want to drive your followers crazy.
Exactly.
Because here's what a lot of people do. Do you remember Ping? It's Ping, P-I-N-G dot, I think it's ping.fm. Ping is a site where it was real popular when we all started to get into social media 5 or 6 years ago, because you could go onto Ping and you could create a short little status update and you could click on the button and out it would go to your LinkedIn profile and out it would go to your Facebook profile and out it would go to your Twitter, you know, profile. And the problem is, if somebody was following you on all three sites, they're getting duplicate messages. And all three sites are extremely different. They're all very different.
Yep.
Twitter is for real short little messages that you can send out, and you can actually have conversations with people on Twitter. I use it because I want people to do one thing on Twitter. I want them to click on the link that I give them. And most of what I use Twitter for is for to push out valuable tips, valuable information about my topic. And I share a lot of other people's stuff. I've shared a lot of your stuff.
Well, thank you. I love to share your stuff too. And that's one of the things that I love about Twitter, is it just promotes that kind of sharing and cross networking. You know,
Yes, it does.
for me, I mean, Twitter, you know, there's two real ways I use Twitter personally. One is, you know, it's like conversing with people, interacting with people. It's so real time. I love that. And then the other one is kind of like what you're talking about. You have a headline and a link. A headline and a link. And then, you know, so Twitter is a really good way to get links out to your followers or your network and have them click that link. Obviously,
right.
Facebook and LinkedIn are totally different. It's not a way to push a link out into the world. It's something really different.
Well, you can definitely push links out into the world on Facebook. And let me give you a tip about Facebook. When I got onto Facebook, I almost never wrote status updates from my profile. I was totally consumed with my page.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the page is what we create for our business. And my assistant, who's an expert on Facebook, told me, she said, you know, since I started including a lot of personal updates on my profile page on her life, okay, on her flower garden and her dogs and her walks on the beach and all this stuff, she said, I started to get requests from people who are friends with me on Facebook wanting to know what I did in my professional life. And she's gotten several clients as a result of pushing out personal information on Facebook. And she said to me, you need to get more personal on Facebook. You need to push out more stuff. So this morning, I put a status update on there, and I just said, let's all say a prayer for the people who live in Colorado because of the wildfires that are raging out of control. You know, does anybody live near Colorado? Or can anybody tell us what's happening there? And I think two people, and one of them was my assistant, responded. And she said, I happen to have a sister-in-law who lives in Colorado. Thanks for the reminder. You know, I'm going to go call her and see what's going on. So use Facebook both for your business on your page or pages, and then also use it for personal use and share a little bit of your personal life. I happen to be a very private person. And I don't like to share a lot of my personal life on Facebook.
Right.
But, and so I said, you know, I don't like to do that. And she said, well, talk about your flower garden.
Your dog. I end up talking about my dogs a lot because, you know, I think they're kind of interesting and they're cute. So, yeah, that's a really great tip because Facebook is a perfect environment for that kind of stuff. And it's I think that would be very helpful, Joan, because a lot of people face the problem of not knowing how to combine their personal stuff with their business stuff on Facebook. And that's a question I get over and over and over again. So I think that's really some great advice there.
Right. And, you know, I've really had to be conscious about getting personal status updates on. And here's another one. You know, you want interaction on Facebook and you want to ask people questions. And a question that you can ask people, you can either do it from your page or from your profile, that will get a lot of responses are fill in the blank questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For example, right now, I don't know if you're going through this in California. We've got a heck of a drought here in the Midwest, and we've got water bans and all this other thing. I don't think it's rained here in 4 or 5 weeks, and the grass is crunching under my feet at the end of June when it should be green.
Yep.
And I was going to post one tomorrow that says something like, you know, for those of you who are suffering from the drought, fill in the blank. It's so dry that blank. And then you'll get a lot of responses to it.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants to fill that out.
Yeah, you know, I get more responses to that than to these, you know, you know, these weighty questions I ask about a business topic. People want to have fun on these sites. They don't only want to be consumed with the business.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good tip also, Joan, because sometimes when we get very intense about marketing or reaching out to people or trying to sell books or sell our program, you know, we kind of forget that the people we're talking to aren't just readers or potential buyers. They're just people like us. I mean, they got a life. They're trying to figure out what to make for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog won't shut up. And, you know, it's just like everybody else's life. So when we connect to people on that level, I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said to me, she said, you know, you got to come across as being a fun person.
That's and most much more of us, attractive, yeah.
And I especially, I don't come across as being a fun person in most of my business stuff. I'm very serious, uh-huh. and I'm very content-oriented, and I'm high content, I'm high value, I'm free tips. And so now I'm trying to mix it up with more fun, because who doesn't want to have fun?
That's right. And it's, you know, I mean, there are lots of ways to create a hook. And, you know, writers know all about creating hooks into articles or blog posts or magazine articles. I mean, you have to have a hook. And, you know, on social media, fun is a fantastic hook because, like you say, who doesn't want to have fun?
Yeah. So then, but then LinkedIn is the place to be more serious. You know, you're not going to share much of your personal life, if anything, on LinkedIn, except maybe if you're into some special interest groups on LinkedIn, or if you're in your college alumni association or something. But LinkedIn is really the place to promote your expertise. And you can use that by answering questions within the groups that you belong to. And here's another little tip, Joel. Wayne Breitbart recommends that if you are on LinkedIn, that you join 50, that's 50 groups.
Wow.
50 groups.
That's
a maximum number. Yeah, that's a lot of groups. And I hear people say, oh, I don't want to do 50. I don't want my email box clogged with all that stuff coming in. What Wayne says is, don't configure your settings so that you're getting email from 50 groups. Only pick the top 3 or 4 or 5 groups where you want to join into the discussion. The advantage of being in so many LinkedIn groups, authors, is because it makes it easy for people within those groups to contact you, to connect with you, to interact with you, without being a first, second, or third degree connection.
Interesting.
That's
a great strategy. Great strategy there, yeah. And 50 is the maximum number, is that it?
Yes.
Well, let's go a little farther afield since we're deep in social media here. How about Goodreads? Have you done much on Goodreads or other reader-centered sites?
I have not. The only, you know, when you and I spoke at, was it IBPA?
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, I believe it was in March, that was the first time I had heard about Goodreads. It wasn't the first time I'd heard about it. I presented a program there on a little bit on Goodreads and some other places online where editors can connect with readers. And I had heard about it just a couple of months before, once I had my assignment from IBPA on what they wanted me to talk about. So I created a profile. To be honest with you, I don't know how many followers I have, but I am not a traditional author like most of the people listening to this. I published 4 ebooks a long, long time ago, and I will occasionally update those when need be. And so for me, Goodreads is not a super duper important place, but I'll tell you, if I were promoting the heck out of an ebook or a printed book, I would be all over Goodreads because it's a fabulous place to find your target market.
Yeah, and one of the things I really like about Goodreads is that there's a lot less hesitation about connecting with people because you have the feeling that everybody is kind of equal. We're all readers. We all love
yes.
books. You wouldn't be on the site if you didn't love books and you weren't an active reader. So I find it much easier to connect with people and actually get into conversations about books specifically. So that's interesting. But you know, another one that we've talked about also, Joan, is the whole thing about Pinterest. Now, I know you did a fantastic webinar on Pinterest, didn't you?
Yes, I did a couple of months ago. And I'm glad you mentioned it because Pinterest, of course, is the shiny new bauble right now. You know, everybody is hooked on Pinterest. And authors, Pinterest is a fabulous place to be building boards and linking to images that are tied into the topic of your book, and resist the temptation to use Pinterest only to promote yourself and your books. That's a best way to turn people off. Use Pinterest to pin beautiful images, just gorgeous images of your of things that tie into the topic of your book, but that don't necessarily come from your book.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm a recent Pinterest user, and I actually like it a lot. I mean, there is the downside of Pinterest, and I see the downside as being, once you start looking at all those beautiful pictures, you can really go down the rabbit hole and lose like a lot of time because it's hard to pull yourself away. It's really addictive. I mean, it's like crack or something. It's unbelievable. But I really like it when, and I've tried to model my profile there on some other people I've been studying, and that is, like I have great book design stuff, and that's not just my book design. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any of my books in there. I just find stuff I like and I put it on there and people follow it, or great ebook covers. But I've also mixed in some more, like we were talking about being personal and being human beings. So I also decided to start a board on food stuff because I'm a very avid cook. I just love to cook and bake, and I love taking pictures of food. And then I've got another board that's all like wacky California license plates. So somehow you get a mixture together, and it gives you really an interesting picture of who this person is. And I think that's really kind of valuable.
And Joel, what you just said, that goes back to the whole having fun thing that we talked about. You have a board of wacky California license plates, and I want to go over and look at it because I think some of those are just hysterical. And that helps me view you, if I didn't know you, as a fun guy.
Exactly. It rounds out the picture, so you're just not this voice, buy my book all the time, which is kind of like the worst possible thing you can do. I mean, nothing will turn people off faster.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like that, and I think that, I mean, social media, in a sense, Joan, you have to admit, it's still kind of in its infancy. I mean, we haven't really seen all the things you can do. I mean, every time one of these new services opens, like Pinterest started, and everybody said, "Oh, heck, why didn't we think of that?" It's so simple, and yet it's really super effective.
Yeah,
Well,
absolutely.
here's what I want to ask you. Like, we talk a lot in our marketing module about, creating a marketing plan and how important this is. And I've got questionnaires people fill out to bring out, what's the unique thing about your book? What does your book do that people don't know about? And then we use that in trying to put together our marketing plan. So my question to you is, about publicity. How do we make that part of our whole plan? How can you plan for that? I mean, do you plan just for, I mean, you can't really plan publicity stunts, let's say. I mean, are you going to plan like a party? Are you going to plan like the kind of interviews you're going to get? Or how do you plan like all this type of promotion that you want to do around your book?
Well, I love the idea of a media plan, and you can do a 12-month media plan. I'm thinking of doing a program in the next couple of months on how to do a 12-month media plan. And there are definitely some things that you need to be aware of that you should be planning on or in specific months of the year. Let's say, for example, you have a Christmas book. When I was at IBPA, I roomed with the gal who was writing a children's book that I think had the Night Before Christmas story in it, but it was without Santa with the cigarette in his mouth. Because in the, I think the Night Before Christmas or something like that, it was a Christmas story. And so she's tying into the whole non-smoking, campaign, and she's going after nonprofits that, encourage people to stop smoking. If she wants to get her stuff out around Christmas, like say in early December, she wants to do her publicity and she wants to get in national magazines, she had better be pitching those stories about 4 months beforehand, 4 to 5 months,
Oh, yeah.
because big magazines have very long lead times.
Oh, absolutely. And
You
then
see what I mean?
you
So
have to go
you
through
need
the
to
whole
know
decision
what the lead
process.
time is.
Yeah, and then they have to assign time to actually create the piece, and then their publishing schedule is at least 2 to 3 months before the magazines hit the stands. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, people trying to sell books for Christmas, I always tell them, you got to be doing that at least 6 months beforehand. People are looking
Yes.
in the summer buying season. That's when they're planning what they're going to be buying in the fall.
Exactly. If you have a book on schoolyard bullying that you want parents to buy in August, right as they're thinking of getting their kids back to school, you should be promoting that book in the spring
Yeah, that's
if you want to
interesting.
get into national magazines.
Well, I love the idea of a 12-month calendar, and I hope you do that program because, personally, I'd like to take it. I think it would be great. And I just want to mention, I mean, I know this is not a kind of an interruption, but I didn't mention in your introduction that I want people to know Joan runs these fantastic webinars. I mean, you'd be doing them every month, aren't you, on different topics that will help people do their own publicity and promotion?
Yes, I just did one last week, as a matter of fact, on 33 ways to promote your press releases.
Oh, excellent. We'll talk
Everybody
to us.
Everybody writes a press release and they throw it out there on PR Web or one of the press release distribution sites, and then they forget about it. And you need to be constantly driving traffic to that release.
Okay, so do you post your release on your website and then drive traffic to that page, or do you post them on like PR Web and let them post it and drive it to their page? Or
well, it depends on how much money you have, okay?
Yeah.
If you can afford, if you're doing a book campaign, you really ought to have a press release either on PR Web or on, I like Expert Click, the online yearbook of experts, because for I think $800 or $900 a year, you can post up to 52 press releases a year that all go into the Google News feed at no additional charge, and you get a little press room on there and you get your bio, and journalists can subscribe to your stuff if they want to receive it. And so it depends on how much money you have. Some authors cannot afford PR Web, so then they have to go on to some of the free press release sites. Those are not really distribution sites. Those sites mostly just park your release there.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, then you have to hope and pray that they're found by the search engines. But yeah, post your press release to your website, preferably under a button called Online Press Room.
Online press room, okay, rather
right.
than like a media kit or stuff like that?
It can be media kit. You know, a media kit can be part of an online press room. You can use the terms interchangeably.
Okay.
But that's the place where journalists are going to go, and even bloggers and freelancers, and really anybody who wants to learn more about you. And you can have your press release in there. You want a good bio. Joel, you know as well as I do. Don't a lot of authors write the worst bios?
It's unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I frequently tell them, why don't you just hire somebody or get a friend to write it, because they're going to do a better job.
You know, I say, if I can't sleep, I'll go read an author's bio. That'll put me to sleep quicker than any Ambien ever could. They are horrible, most bios. And you really want to inject a lot of fun into your bio, assuming you want to come across as a fun person. It can also include, it should include your photo in high resolution, 300 dots per inch, so that a newspaper magazine can use it. You want a choice of photos that they can use. You want some environmental shots. If you happen to have written a book on toy trains because you're a toy train expert, you want an environmental shot of you with your toy train down your basement taken by a professional photographer. It could include videos. It could include industry definitions if you're writing about something complicated. Any place that people can go to pull out information that will help them promote you or tell your story.
Well, that's a really great idea. And do you recommend that authors put out regular press releases? I mean, I get this question also, and I'm constantly telling people, look, you launched your book, you did a press release. Okay, but that's not the end of it. I mean, there are many other things going on in the world that might connect to what your book is about. So do you like put them out regularly?
Do I put them out regularly? I'm like the shoemaker's kids who don't have shoes.
All right, well, what's your advice? Let's stick with that.
Yes, absolutely. You want to write press releases as often as you possibly can. One of the things that I am looking at is outsourcing some press release writing to someone who will write press releases specifically for me about my products and services to be uploaded to Expert Click, where I have a profile. And the reason that you write press releases, and this is important, because I want you to listen to this. This is real important. You don't write press releases to get big publicity stories written about you. You write press releases primarily to pull traffic to your website or blog. If you want big stories written about you in newspapers, on blogs, most of that has to be accomplished through a customized pitch to the blogger or the journalist. You're very seldom going to get those big stories from a press release.
Good point. I mean, the press release might tickle somebody's interest, but then there's a lot of road to travel between there and actually actualizing a big media placement.
Yes.
So, I mean, a press release can be a really good interest grabber. And I like the idea of using press releases to drive traffic. That's great. Now, do you have resources on your website, Joan, that would help people in crafting their press release? Because that's a pretty specific kind of skill, and not every author is going to be able to do that without some training.
Well, I actually have a course. It's a free email tutorial. And it's delivered over 11 weeks. And I can hear everybody groaning, you know, I don't have 11 weeks to learn how to do this. Well, then buy the ebook. I put the whole course into an ebook. And if you go to 89pressreleasetips.com, you can either opt in to the free course and you'll get your first lesson, and the lessons are really short. It's only going to take you, you know, no more than 5 minutes to look through each lesson, and I purposely kept them short. You can opt in and then just start. You'll get a lesson a day for 89 days, and I promise you, by the time you're done, you will know more about how to write and distribute press releases than most public relations people.
Well, that's fantastic. So you can either get, you can get the information either for free on the email drip, or you can get the whole thing at once if you want to lay out some bucks. Is that it?
Yes. And I should also tell everybody that that course was written several years ago. And even though the steps are still the same, there are a lot of outdated links in there. And we are now in the process of rewriting the copy and updating the links and all that good stuff. And as soon as we get the book finished, we're then going to go and update all the autoresponders that are going out every day. So if you hit some bad links, you know, email me and tell me there's a bad link or two, and we'll get them fixed as soon as we can. But it's a great course. More than 10,000 people have taken it. I have got a gazillion raving testimonials from people who have taken the course that you can see on the page there. And, you know, it's the most thorough press release course that I know of.
Well, that's a great resource, and that's fantastic that you make it available for free. I mean, that's very generous. And, you know, I don't know that program, but I'm going to sign up today, Joan. No kidding. I mean, I've been writing press releases for a long time, but that only means that I know that there's lots of stuff that I don't know and I could do better, because I think writing press releases is really, you know, there's a lot of bang for the buck. If you can actually create a press release that gets attention, you're going to get so much mileage out of it, but you really have to put the work in. You've got to have a great headline, you're going to have a great hook, and you got to, you know, drive people to action.
Joel, I spend an entire week just on writing the headline.
Yep, I believe that.
I have a whole week set aside for headlines. Mm-hmm. I believe I have a whole week set aside on how to use keywords in your press releases. I have a whole week set aside for follow-up. You know, what do you do with the release once it's written? Where are all the places that you can put it?
That's fantastic. And, well, that's just a great resource, and I'm going to link to that one as well. All right, so we don't have that much time left, John, but there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is, you know, sometimes we get authors who are really doing a pretty big program. You know, they're really putting a lot of money into their book, and they're putting out a lot of resources, and they're really trying to use their book to leverage their career. This is pretty common with consultants or corporate types. I just did a book like this for an ex-CEO, and he probably spent somewhere in the $30,000 to $40,000 range putting the whole deal together. And I know that, you know, for some people like this, they're just not going to be able to do this publicity for themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you, as a pro, when do you know, like, when's a good time that you should be hiring a professional, bringing in a publicist? Maybe it's for that couple of month period around the time you're launching the book, whatever. I mean, what's your advice about that?
Well, the first thing is, before I tell you what, you know, the things that you need to keep in mind and how to know, you have got to have a budget. I can't tell you, Joel, the number of people who call me to say, you know, can I hire you as my publicist? And I don't do that. Or I need a publicist. Where can I find one? And that's the first question out of my mouth. How much money do you have to spend on a publicist? There are people out there, you won't believe this, they think they can hire a publicist for $300.
Wow.
You can barely get a press release written for $300, let alone a whole publicity campaign. And if you're an author and you've got $5,000, you may be able to get a bare bones publicity campaign, somebody who can put together all the materials for you and sort of lay out a little plan that maybe you're the one who has to institute. But here are some circumstances where you're definitely going to want to find somebody to do it for you, okay?
Okay.
You might be a consultant who has a wildly successful consulting practice where you're hauling in $20,000, $30,000 per contract. You don't want your time spent doing this book promotion. You got better things. You got better ways to make money.
Right.
So that's one. Another one is some people just simply have family commitments. They've got kids. They're taking care of elderly parents, and they don't have the time to spend on something like this. Go out and find a professional. Maybe not, if you can't afford somebody to do the whole thing for you, then find somebody to do at least part of it for you. Okay? You might be, let's see, an author who's, maybe you have a contract with the publisher, but that publisher, that 6-month period has expired. And so you don't have a publicist anymore to work with,
right,
like you used to, and now you're on your own, and you don't have time, go out and find a professional. There are a lot of people out there who can help you. Let's see, some other circumstances. You may not know anything at all about the media or even where to start. Some people, quite frankly, are petrified. Of the thought of having to work and answer to somebody in the media, and even especially pitch them. And if you happen to be one of those people, I would urge you to get media training, because even though your publicist will call and pitch them, if that journalist says yes, you need to know how to handle yourself well during an interview. Even if they ask you an uncomfortable question that you don't want to answer, you need to know how to, you know, prepare for that and how to answer something that you don't want to answer.
Yeah, I would say also, you know, the people who have a book that they really truly believe is can go national and can get big media attention, that it's that important or that radical or that controversial, or they have that kind of reputation that would interest people in big media. You know, I usually tell them that you have to put together a budget for a publicist, because you're going to need that person to interact with all these media people.
Yes.
You know, most authors can't do that, and maybe shouldn't even be doing that for themselves. You can't represent yourself really as effectively as somebody who's a pro can do it for you. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, while the publicist is doing the big media part of it, the author should be spending time building that platform that we started out talking about, you know, getting, you know, capturing the opt-in email addresses, sending out a weekly or every other week e-zine, answering questions on LinkedIn, sharing content on Twitter, being the go-to person on Facebook to answer questions. That's where the author should be spending their time.
Outstanding. That's excellent advice, and I'm sure that will be appreciated. Well, look, Joan, we've taken up a lot of your time here, and this is just fantastic. You've really packed a huge amount of information.
Joel, can I share one more
tip
with you guys?
So if you've got more tips, give them to me now.
One more tip. I found this one yesterday, and I think your authors will absolutely love it. There's an online visibility specialist named Denise Wakeman, W-A-K-E-M-A-N. And if you go to denisewakeman.com, she wrote a blog post called 19 Ways to Promote Your Ebook.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely wonderful. And I was just jumping up and down when I read it. And she even picked the one idea that she likes that's the best, and it's absolutely brilliant. And it's something that I'm going to do, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm going to make your make you authors go over there and find it. So go to Denise Wakeman, WAKEMAN.com, and just do a search for 19 ways to promote your ebook.
Yeah, I've read a lot of Denise Wakeman's stuff, and she is a brilliant marketer. She's been doing it a long time, and she's a great blogger also.
And you might recognize her name. She was half of the blog squad.
Uh-huh. So there you go. Okay, well, we pretty much come full circle. Let me remind listeners again, if you like this stuff that Joan is telling you, head right now over to her site, thepublicityhound.com, and you're going to find just a ton of resources, ebooks, blog articles, and all the stuff that Joan has been talking about right on her blog. And it's a fantastic resource. Okay, Joan, so you've been very generous. I really appreciate it. And thanks very much for taking time out of your day to come in today.
Thank you, Joel. And I hope I can get you in front of my audience, too, at some point.
Well, that would be a pleasure. I'd love it. So
let's
just
do
let
it.
Me know.